Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time, but will you push your name and tell them God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. Y'all know. You taking too long. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God gonna respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's gonna happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslap. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a breakthrough. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
this place with the late, great Troy Sneed. Listen, we're just excited about what is going to happen today on the Worldwide Gospel Connection with none other than our friend, our brother, none other than Brother LaRon Green will be with us on this morning. But I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the Man Up Monday broadcast right here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Chief Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're going to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited about what the Lord has to say on this morning. Guys, you know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go another further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer, and we're going to share our morning scripture. So lend me your hearts for a moment as we talk to the Father. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy that is renewed to us on a day-to-day basis. God, we say thank you for just being God and being God all by yourself. And beside you, Father God, there is no other. So we thank you, Lord God, as we turn our heads toward the hills which come at our help, and our help comes from you. We thank you and we magnify you and we glorify you and we give your name praise, glory, honor, and dominion. We say take charge of our day, God. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us, God, another day, God, another chance, another hour, Lord God, another minute, God, to just turn our attention toward you and to give your name praise, glory, God, and just say thank you, God, because without you, we are nothing. So we want to say thank you. We pray, God, that you would take, God, hold of this broadcast on this morning. God, do with it what you will. God, we ask that you would speak life and speak life more abundantly. God, give those that are under the sound of the man of God's voice, God, the strength, oh God, God, to stand and move and go and be empowered by his words on the day, to build him up, God, to build them up, God, in the way that they need to be built up. For every broken and shattered place, God, give them strength. For God, for every man, woman, boy, and girl, God, that is under the sound of our voices on this morning, God, we pray that they are encouraged, empowered, and strengthened, God, to continue in the fight and not give up, but they will continue to do what they have assigned, that you have assigned for them to do, God. And we thank you in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, you know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We also have our scripture of the day. We have our scripture of today. And our scripture of the day is going to come from Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse. That's Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse. And it simply says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The Father, I'm going to read that again. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see God. That's good. That's good information right there. That's good gospel information right there. Listen, also we want to make sure that we acknowledge all of our great countries that are listening in. And we want to say thank you for your continued support of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. You know, this is my soapbox moment. This is my soapbox moment that I take right here. And I want us to know that some of us had the opportunity to enjoy two services on yesterday. Some of us even had three services. Some of us had the opportunity to listen to our favorite gospel artists. We listened to our favorite preacher. We listened on the internet. We listened to televangelist on yesterday. Some of us didn't even move. We were right there at the house. Some of us got the opportunity to do some Bible reading and all of that. But I want to admonish you. I want to turn your attention, if I could, to these countries that are listening. Some of these countries, some of these rural countries, if they're caught with a scripture, not a Bible, people of God, but a scripture. If they're caught with a scripture, watch what happens. They are drugged into the street and they made examples out of. Why? God, every time I think about it, my heart goes out to them. They're drug out into the street. They made examples out of them. Some of them are executed in the streets. Some of them, their families are separated. The husband and the wife are sold into slavery. The children are sent into work camps because they are found with a scripture. And here we are. We have the opportunity. We have the chance to listen to this gospel without fear of repercussion. There are some adversities that come with our walk. There are some that we come with agendas that will try to stand against what we do, but they cannot stop us from listening and worshiping and carrying a Bible around with us. Some of us have a Bible app on our phone. I want you to turn your attention to praying for these great countries. Pray that the taskmaster, pray this prayer that I pray. Pray that the taskmasters of that region would gather with themselves the understanding that them that they themselves can be free as well. They themselves can experience the salvation of Jesus Christ. They themselves can experience the love of God themselves. Pray the prayer that God will move by his power and by his strength to set them in a place of deliverance. Pray the prayer that God will move by his power and by his strength, and they will be set into freedom. Pray the prayer that not another life, not another child, not another husband, not another wife is separated from their family for the love of Jesus Christ. Those of you all that are listening overseas, we want you to know that we're interceding for you. Our hearts go out to you. We're grateful that you would take out that time to listen in to us. And we know that sometimes that this could very well mean, almost mean your life. But we want to say thank you and know that the Lord is with you. He is constantly watching over you. So fear not for what you see, for he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or say. Just trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct you. Amen. So people of God, make sure you turn your prayers to today towards these great countries. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia, China, Hong Kong, Germany, Bulgaria, Russia, Mexico, United Kingdom, Paris, France, Japan, South Korea, Ireland, Ireland, India, Portugal, the Netherlands, and we have Italy. Thank you guys again so much for your constant support, your constant connecting with us, your constant prayers toward the worldwide gospel connection, and your prayers toward these great countries. Remember to continue to lift them up. Continue to put your prayers in a way to where God will move his hand. God will move by his power. God will move by his strength. And know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And know that he is God, and he is God all by himself. Know that. Trust in that. Trust in the fact that that if anything comes your way, that God's hand is on your life. God is watching over you. God is keeping you. God's desire for you is that you be blessed. So continue to lean on him, and he will do just that. He will make a way out of no way on your behalf. Just keep on trusting in him. And watch what he'll do. He'll show up and he'll show out in your life. So just keep on believing and trusting, because he will turn it for you. Amen? Amen.
I haven't really made this public, but I think I'm supposed to tonight. I've been battling with some illness in my body for about a year. We didn't know what was going on. And I went to the doctor 2 weeks ago and took some tests, and they saw something near my spine. And they ordered some MRIs, and the MRIs came back conclusive that there are two masses in my body right now near my spine. And I came here tonight because I needed the devil to know that nothing you throw at this family, from trying to give my wife cancer last year, to trying to take my son out last year, to trying to give my daughter pneumonia and take her out, not one thing he can do is going to prosper. It did not say the weapons wouldn't hurt, it just say they wouldn't prosper. Now, I am not as athletic as Ty. He got a six pack. I got a 40 ounce. But I came here tonight, since the miracle started last night and the lady got healed from lupus, I realized that I'm not just here to preach to y'all. I need to declare right now that the doctor's report saw something, but as of tonight, I just need them to know, he turned it!
already had me. The devil thought he had me. Had me,
but then my life was
over.
He thought right now I'd
give up.
He thought I'd
fall,
but that's when
something
stepped in my
Thank you.
Tell me, Tommy.
What's going on, guys? How we doing? I love it. I love it. Hey, Dallas, good to be with you. Fort Worth, tuning in. Good to be with you guys. People in Houston, there's a gathering starting in Houston. Folks tuning in from all over the world, we're so glad that you can be with us as we open God's Word.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, our friend, our brother is on with us right now, none other and Brother LaRon Green. He is with us on this morning. Listen, guys, call a friend. Tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. Call your brothers. Tell your brothers to get on. Let's do this. We're gonna do something a little bit different today. We're going to do a little something different today. Y'all usually used to us coming in and as a message and as a word, but today can we have a man to man God help me right through here. We finna open the floodgates, fellas. We finna sit back and we finna have a man to man moment. We finna have some man cave talk this morning. We have our covering on with us this morning as well. None other than our pastor, our covering, our man of God that covers the Iba House family. None other than Bishop Jamarian Williams. He is on with us as well on this morning. And we just want to open up the door. Bishop came on, and I'm gonna tell you why we don't have Bishop on too often. It's because when he come on, folks, listen, let me tell y'all something. The last time he came on, he had me sitting in the corner crying like I was five. So,
my Lord.
So last time he came on, he had me on the corner crying like I was five. But he brought up a very valid point, and I think it's noteworthy for us to come back and visit it. And Bishop, you talked about something that says, I am not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am not okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brother LaRon, I want to kick that over to you, seeing as you the guest on this morning. I want to kick that over to you. He said, you know, he brought the scripture out, oh wretched man that I am. He said, deliver me from this body of death. It's the scripture that he used. And sometimes that we as men, we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We struggle as mm-hmm. men. Not because, not because of nothing that we didn't need.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that we need answers sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Apostle Douglas, thank you for having me on this morning with my dear friend and brother. Matter of fact, my best friend and brother, Bishop Jamarian Williams. I agree with that. We just need answers. We need direction a lot of times. And we as men, because we are men, and I believe Bishop will agree with me on this, because we are men, we don't always say, and we certainly don't let it be known.
I don't know
if that's what we were taught when we looked at our fathers and our grandfathers and those men who stood before us who we regard as giants. I don't know if we look at them and say, well, we never saw them acting like they were scared of anything or acting like that they were at any moment weak. But when we graduate into manhood and try to maneuver through manhood, we find out that the navigation is not as easy as our forefathers made it look. But they knew something. On yesterday we had the sage, one of the last sages of Houston, Dr. Samuel H. Smith, with us. But they knew something. And what they knew is, first of all, three words, Psalms 23, verse 1, that the Lord is. You can stop right there. You stop right there because you realize in those three words, that's everything you need. Yeah. What is the Lord? Is he a bill payer? The Lord is. Is he my way maker? The Lord is. Is he my healer? Is he my deliverer? There are brothers who struggle with all types of things in their marriage or in their single walk or in their walk with God, in everything, every aspect of life. And so they knew, our forefathers knew that the Lord is, and they knew who to call on. They knew where to go. The late Dr. S.J. Gilbert said in a sermon, one of the sermons I love to hear, I played off of, he said, I know where the bread house is. I know where the storehouse is. So when my supply runs empty, I can get on my knees and say, bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. So we as men, a lot of times we don't know, and we need that direction. But if we would go to the Word of God, that is our place of refuge. That is our place of our storm shelter, our stronghold. That should be our stronghold. You see. Okay.
You know, and one of the things too, I think as men, is, like you said, our examples. We never seen our examples cry.
All right.
I grew up without my father. But I grew up with examples of men. I'm going to say that again, because that blessed some men that's listening in. I grew up without my father, but I grew up with examples of men. So when I got married into my first wife, I knew how to be a man, but I didn't know how to be a father. And I had to teach myself. I literally had to pray and ask God, because at the time I gave my life at 21, I asked God, I said, at the age of 20, preached my first sermon at 21. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give to me what I need to be a father to my son. And brother, let me help y'all. Let me help y'all with something. Let me bless you to your blessed place, push you to your perfect guidance in the best real quick. Being a man is more than just paying bills.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Being a father is more than just showing up for football games. It goes beyond just you buying gifts and shoes and making sure that they got prom stuff covered and school fee stuff was covered. Being a father, it wasn't until I got mentors that I understood the mentality and levels of being a man and a father, because I would watch my mentors with their kids. But I never really experienced the whole totality. I just saw the outside part where they made sure that they nurtured their sons, they spoke with their sons, because that's what they were teaching me. But it wasn't until I had to get into that place to where being a father to my sons, to me, we have seven together, my wife. My current wife and myself, we have seven together. She has four. I have three. I have two boys and a girl. Raising that girl is a whole lot different than it is raising a boy.
You better know it is, son.
Let me explain something to you. See, the boy, you can send him out and go ahead on, tell him, say, man, make sure you do what you're supposed to do. Don't be going out here wild about doing nothing. You ain't got no business. That girl.
Right.
You gotta keep the 12 gauge clean. You gotta keep the 9mm clean. You gotta keep a fear of God in these little young cats that be coming by the house. It's that mentality, it's your mindset. And then, watch this here. You teach them the natural things, then you got to learn how to teach them the spiritual things.
Yes. Yeah, you do. You do. And that goes
like
to...
I'm first of all, thank y'all for letting me come in on the conversation. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
You have on this line right now three different dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you have, and Brooke Green, forgive me for telling your testimony. You have a man who was raised by his father.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a man who was not raised by his father, who is absent.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have another man whose father was in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things have made us into the powerful, purposeful men that we are.
Yes, sir.
Because either the presence of or lack thereof of male figure in our life. And there. And we salute our beautiful women, those who raise the children, even our own mothers or mother figures.
Yes.
But there's no impartation that a woman can make like a man.
Come on, Doc.
That's right.
And it takes
you're right.
Again, it takes nothing away. I had a strong mother and a strong grandmother, and my grandfather was in my life. He served as the father figure. And matter of fact, I saw his son yesterday at church, and it blessed my son to know of the indelible imprint that he made. But when it came to my mother, she was very strong. My grandmother was very strong. But what it did was it made me, I had to learn, first of all, to forgive him.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something as some males don't do, particularly the African American. We don't learn to forgive the absence of the male figure.
Oh, man.
You know, we mad at it. And
yeah.
we don't know and
yeah.
we don't know all of the logistics, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know all of the logistics. And so some of us who are men are the way we are because of a presence or lack thereof. Now let me give you this, and because I don't want to take over the conversation. But sometimes we must understand the private providential hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. I heard you. I heard your pastor. You say you started preaching when you were 21. I started preaching when I was 16. But even in our ministry, we were still and green. You know, as God walks with you, we were still being men being molded.
Right.
Right.
And so
right.
when a man is being molded, God has to chuck off some hunks,
mm-hmm.
some unnecessary fluff. And some men who've had children are still being men molded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a part of
and so
I'm a leader, I'm gonna say this and I'm done. A part of that molding is God works on one end.
Yeah.
While another end that he eventually is going to get to is still waiting to be cut off. And that's what the mother had to deal with. That's what the child had to deal with. Because, God dealt with some things on the man, but there's some immaturity. There's some, he may have had a lack of a male presence. And so God has to teach us patience as we deal with, you know, men under construction because we don't know what parts need to be worked on.
Right.
And we have to see that man through our eyes. We have to exert the same kind of grace that we would want God to give us if it was us. Because to be honest with you, that I was going to talk about, I was kind of in that situation. And I thank God that he gave me the grace to still be molded on, even now in my late 40s. So I'm gonna shut up now. I'm gonna give it back to y'all. Go ahead.
You know, well, you say something so valid. Go ahead, brother Green.
Well, no, I was just gonna say to Bishop's point is that with the man giving grace to another man. I remember, you know, as he stated, you know, my father was in my life, but and I have to be, I'm not, no knock, no disrespect to my father. I love him, and anyone who knows me knows I'm crazy about my dad. But he wasn't the best example to set for me. And while he did teach me a lot of things. He left me at the age, I was 20 years old when my father died. But while he, in those 20 years, he did teach me a lot, but he didn't teach me perhaps everything that he could have, you know. But the Lord, even during those times, the Lord put men all around me. Dr. Samuel Smith is one of them. My late pastor, the late Dr. Haywood Wiggins, the late Reverend Dr. C.A. Berry, most of them are preachers, you'll find. Even Bishop Williams. These men got around me, and they let me hang around them, and they let me learn and glean from them. They let me pick up tidbits from them. And they showed me, and I'm still learning, don't get me wrong, I'm still learning very much so. I'm in the classroom of life, as we all are. But those men got around me and said, it's okay, come hang with me. Come, let me show you this. Or maybe you don't know how to do this. Let me show you how to do this. And we owe it. I'll say that again, because a lot of people don't think that they owe somebody. We owe it to the young men and brothers coming behind us. We owe it to the ones who helped us to help somebody else. That's how we repay them. The now late Dr. Jesse Berry, who is the mother grandmother of Pastor Andrew Berry, she said one particular time, in this walk of life, you never graduate. Your prayer is always, Lord, help me to become. And so while we are still trying to become, we owe it to our forefathers. We owe it to men like Bishop's grandfather. We owe it to men like the deacons and the pastors that I've mentioned earlier. We owe it to them to help somebody else, because we have to pull these young men. We have to pull these young brothers up. We have to help them. I'll say this. My wife and I have two sons. I don't have any biological. They're both her sons. But the younger of the two, when my wife and I first started dating, he and I really didn't get along. We really didn't hit it off. And after some time, you know, my wife and I dated for several years, as Bishop will be able to tell you, we dated for several years. And one day, my youngest son called me, and he said, "You know something? I want to go to a movie." And I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "I want you to take me to the movies." Okay. So I went and picked him up. He picked a movie. We went to the movie. But the funniest thing was, he said to my wife, we weren't married at the time, but he said to my wife, he said, "You can't come. It's just me and him." I said, okay. I found that peculiar, because I thought maybe there was something he really wanted to talk to me about. And so we went. We saw the movie. We went and had dinner. We had a wonderful time just fellowshipping and really getting to know each other, because we had never given each other the chance to really know each other. And you fast forward a few years after my wife and I got married, he called me again. These are many years later. He called me again, and he said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "Okay." He said, "I've been dating this young lady, and I really love her." I said, "Well, Marcus, that is wonderful." He said, "But here's my question. I want her to become my wife, but I don't know how to ask her."
Wow.
And I said, you just gave me the blueprint of how to ask her. Tell her how you feel about her. This was what I shared with him. Tell her how you feel about her. Let her know what your plan is. Let her know you want to make her happy. She's already made you happy. You want to make her, and you want to spend the rest of your life making her happy. And so you fast forward a little bit more. When he proposed to his now wife, my daughter-in-law, whom we love so very dearly, when he proposed to her, he kept the open line of communication. He said, "Okay, we had a play-by-play, if you will." He was texting us every few minutes. "Okay, we've gotten to the venue. Okay, I'm about to propose. And then he sent out a text blast about everybody that he knew. She said yes. So that is a memory I cherish, because out of all the people he could have called his own father, He could have reached out to my wife's father, his grandfather, but he called me. And that still touches me. It still brings tears to my eyes because, again, out of all the men he knows, out of all the people, he could have called his older brother. He could have called his older cousin, but he called me. And I'm not trying to say that I'm so much because I'm not. But we owe it, but back to my point, we owe it to those coming behind us to be there. We need to make ourselves available to these, because somebody, and Bishop has preached this before, and I know he has, somebody's looking at us.
Yeah.
They may never come, they may never identify themselves. Somebody is looking at us, and somebody is looking to us. There's a difference.
Yeah.
When you look at somebody, you're watching their example. When you look into somebody, you're looking for an example.
Yeah.
We owe that to them. Go ahead.
Yeah. And forgive me for interjecting, Apostle, but a question that I wanted to see if I can ask, and Dream, that is a powerful story that you just shared, which is the segue into the question that I want to ask. You were able to pour into a non-biological son, and although that is your son, whether it be biological or not. I guess the question is, we have a generation of young men who are untapped, and many of them probably have those same kind of questions, but there's no, some of them don't feel, we're in a different generation of young men who are not like the ones that we came up as. How, and this is to both of you, how can we approach this generation to make them feel like what you say to me will not be judged, you won't feel any less uncomfortable? How can we touch this generation of young boys and even up-and-coming young men? How can we break that barrier between the generation that we were, that we were raised by, and the generation that we are right now?
One of the things that I think, and this is what works for me. This is what works for me. I don't expect you to be perfect when you come. It was a pastor that made a statement that said something. Stop trying to clean the fish before you catch it. Stop trying to clean the fish before you catch it. If you let them come to you smelling like
them
trees, smelling like them trees, smelling like they fresh out the club, don't look like you, they pants sagging. And see, this is what we as the body of Christ has to understand. You were not perfect when you came to God either.
And you're still not now.
You didn't have it. You're still not now. You still got stuff that you deal with. So as they come, you begin to embrace them. And see, this is my thing too. We have to realize we're not just dealing with surface issues on people sometimes. Sometimes we're dealing with people that have mental issues. They got separation. Ain't God help me, because I felt that in my spirit. Some of them got separation anxiety. They grew up without their father. They grew up with a mama that did not know how to raise them, and the only thing every time she looked at him, she saw her and took her frustration out on him because he's a junior and he looked like her ex. So she got a problem with the ex because the ex is her vice and her issue. She put her hands, watch this here, on the closest thing to her because she can't get to him.
Ooh,
yeah,
you opened up a can of worms right there, because
you really did.
Yeah. Because now you got these young men that's coming, and they
Not only are they dealing with, some of them are not even dealing with identity crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't been stuck under their mama for so long that they don't even know who they are. So you got to realize when they come, I was telling our church this past Thursday, we're fixing to start doing some mental health classes because we got some we going for the big fish. We doing like what Pastor Carson told us yesterday. We going out into the deep. We launched out into the deep.
Yeah.
When you launch out into the deep, you got to realize you fix to get some folks that don't look like you, don't sound like you, don't dress like you. You finna get the ones with the spiky hair, with the different color hair, and you got to be mentally prepared for what the Lord is bringing into your circumstance. That's the reason why I think that when Jesus made it to the shore and the man that was possessed with the demons, I believe that's the reason why it speaks to me so deeply, is because God dealt with a situation that the church refuses to deal with. You do realize when that man say he's filled with legions, that means that he had some breakdowns in his life throughout the whole time that was just unresolved issues that he never did release.
Wow.
That's all them.
Wow.
That's all them demons really was.
But you know what, brother? But if I may, Brother Papa, one of the things that blesses me about that same passage of Scripture, read it carefully. The Bible says, I wish I had Dr. Cosby to say it with me like he likes to say it, but the Bible says when they saw him, when the demons saw Jesus, they ran to him and fell at his feet. Which begs the question, if Jesus showed up in our worship services, if Jesus showed up on our Jesus showed up and knocked at our doors, at our homes, would we know who he is? Would we be able to recognize who he is? The devil knows who he is. The demons know who he is. They tremble at his name. But would we recognize? And you're right, Apostle Douglas, we need to... we're getting ready to step into a generation and trying to reach people who don't look like us, they don't think like us, they don't smell like us. You know, they have the pants sagging or what have you, or they have the tattoos or whatever else that they may have. They are different, but guess what? We were different before the Lord got a hold of us.
Come on. That's true.
Bishop, we were not always 2 or 3-piece suit on a Sunday morning. We were not always driving what we're driving or living where we are living. God did all that.
Yes, sir. You
see, what we have, instead, going back to your point, Apostle Douglas, about trying to clean the fish before we catch them, we got to catch them first.
Yeah.
I can't expect a young brother my wife can't expect a young sister who's just coming in off of their former lifestyle to immediately act and behave and dress and carry herself or himself the way we do. We must be willing to accept people where they are.
Yeah.
Now, the theory of come as you are is right. No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
The theory of come as you are is right. The theory of come as you are is right. It's not biblical, but because everybody says the Bible says it. The Bible doesn't say that like that. But come as you are. Yes, Jesus is standing with his arms wide open. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the problem is he's standing there with his arms open. We stand there with our arms folded.
Wow.
We have to be willing to embrace those Apostle Douglas who don't look like us. We have to be willing to embrace those Bishop Williams who don't smell like us. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Dr. Jerry Christian, Bishop, you remember, at a ministers conference, said, you know, we have this thing backwards. We want to go way out and make a big impact way out somewhere. When all we need to do, what we should do, is start at home.
Exactly.
We got people who
are
lost
at home.
I'm quoting Dr. Jerry Christian. He said, we could save a whole lot of folk But we can get a whole lot of folks saved if we start at home.
At home. At home. Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
because
sir.
Home people you, at home, they know us. Go ahead, Bishop.
Yeah, they do. No. You're good. Go ahead.
They know us.
Yeah,
it's hard to it's easy to go to somebody that doesn't know you. Go ahead, Bishop. I'm sorry.
I'm so glad we're discussing things like this because that man, that demoniac man in Mark chapter 5, had an identity crisis.
Mm.
And,
yes, he did.
And it shows me, Apostle, and I'm pretty sure we probably got some fishermen on the line here, and I think Pastor Cosby hit it yesterday. You can't catch all fish with the same bait.
Sir. No, you can't.
Sir, you can't catch all fish with the same bait. And so my three-piece suit will offend a brother or a sister. I'm not saying, you know, I gotta. Let me put it like this. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might save
mm-hmm.
some. And so we
mm-hmm.
have to learn that sometimes they don't hear the hitobo shotos and the these are the vows or church jargon. But if
mm-hmm.
we come to them just as I am, we have to go to them just as we are.
Wow.
Because let's be honest, we don't talk in King James. We don't go around speaking in tongues all day. And if you do something wrong with
no.
you, I'm sorry.
Right.
But what they do is they look at our lifestyle and they see the approachability. Here's the bait, and I think I'm going to leave it alone. A fish is not going to come to something that's not alluring.
Oh, not.
And so if your life, and we say the word of God will catch you, yeah, but you are the walking advertisement of the word. And
yeah.
and not just for salvational purposes. Let's take it a step further. To reconcile and bring back restoration and purpose to the men in our lives, in our families, even you know, friends and what have you. There has to be an attention grabber, something that will bait them into wanting to be restored and wanting to walk into the place God has for them. But if we don't give them the right bait, then they're not going to catch on. And notice what I said. I didn't say gimmicks. I said bait.
Yeah.
Gimmicks you have to keep changing. The same bait that worked last time will work this time.
Right.
So, yeah, that's go ahead, I'm done.
I figured something out a couple of months ago. We had went to Watch Lifestyle a couple of weeks ago, should I say. And we did Watch Lifestyle at Melville's church that Melville plays for. The same place that we did the affirmation service. And The kids, she, you know, it's a family church, and so her cousins, when they saw me, they ran up to me and they yelled, "Hey, Pop! Hey, Mama!" So that's what they called me an apostle. They call us Pop and Mama, and I was like, okay. And then our prophetess, Prophetess Nicole, when she joined, she said, the reason why I wanted to come and be a part of your ministry and a part of the church, she said, because when I see y'all with y'all arms open and y'all just so inviting. When you become genuine, God, that'll preach right there. When you become so genuine, you become what they call relatable. That's how you win people. You win people by being relatable. You get these young men to trust you because you're relatable. You're not, and Pastor Parker and myself, we're getting ready to launch the a mentorship program for these men. And one of the things that we want to show them is, like I said, you ain't got to be perfect when you come, but we want to give you some tools to get you there.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
I know you cuss, son. It's okay. Watch this. Tune that stuff down. The reason why they do that is because nobody never taught them how to be respectful.
Wow.
Right.
That's good.
I had to learn how, majority of the time, the stuff that I had to learn because I had to watch somebody because I never had nobody to give me an example.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I told God, I said, God, I know manhood does not come with a man.
No.
And one of my mentors said something to me, and I loved him. His name is Deacon Robert Parks. Still with us today. As a matter of fact, I ran into him about 4 or 5 months ago in the neighborhood where I grew up in. I saw him. I had to embrace him and just tell him thank you. Had to just embrace him and thank you. Tell him what his mentorship to me meant. But watch this here. He said something to me. He said, son, he said, getting between a pair of legs don't make you a man.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Make it a
wow. And men need yes, and men and boys need to hear that. That they
yeah.
need to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Making a baby don't make you no man.
Nope.
No.
It makes you a sperm donor.
That's it. My wife has two fathers. She says she has a sperm donor. And she has her father. And I sat back and I told her, I said, why do you call him that? He said, because that's all he is. He's not there, but he was not there. And so I couldn't be mad at that. I couldn't be upset at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the one thing that we have to realize is men, it takes more than just dropping a baby. And then throwing money at the baby like you. No. You. I'm so grateful that my two sons, from on my wife's side, my two sons on my wife's side, they are so respectful and so loving and so caring for me. They call me Pops. They love me mm-hmm. for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They love me for who
yeah.
I am. They love me for just me being mm-hmm. Pops. You know, and it's a beautiful
right.
thing that they love me for being Pops because of the simple fact that they see me for who I am. They're Pops.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I pour into them. The youngest one, he will come. And one day he came in and he just went in and said, what all that, Pop? I said, it's right here. He said, I need you to pray for me.
Wow.
I said that and I tell him this. Our kids are not perfect. My kids not perfect on my side, her kids not perfect on their side. But they see us as an example. And they know God sent
right.
me right through him. If we live
that goes right back to what Dr. Smith said yesterday.
Excuse me, y'all. I'm so sorry. But if we live our life as an example, that when they see us, they may not be perfect. They may not have it all together, but they see us as an example. Man, look,
mm-hmm.
you can every man that's under the sign of our voice right now, live your life like an example. So when they see you, God, man, look, I'm sitting here. I tell you, every time Williams get on me, I cry. Look,
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Look, I said, God, because what?
Thank you, Lord. It's not easy. Don't get me wrong, brothers. It's not easy. It's not easy being the example that we need to be.
It isn't.
But see, if we teach them in the broken places, you can help me right through here. You can still be the man that you need to be. You can lose stuff, and you can still stand up and be a man. You ain't got to go into these streets. You ain't got to stay on drugs. You ain't got to sit up there. You ain't got to pimp no women. You ain't got to do all this other stuff. You can be a man, lose everything, and ride back to the top, dust yourself off, because they watching you, like Brother Green said. They're watching you. They got their eye on you. They see you.
Yeah.
And they watch this here. What's what they doing? They waiting to see what you gonna do in your broken place.
Absolutely. There it is right there.
And I was saying it as you were talking. Dr. Samuel Smith preached that yesterday. Be an example setter.
An example. He did.
And see, he was examining Paul's letter to Timothy. And there's a part, and he touched on it. I'm so glad I wanted to jump out of my seat. He told Timothy, now, it's in your mother, it's in your grandmother, so guess what? I know it's in you. What we have to do, Apostle, what we have to do, Bishop, is stir it up. And back to your point, Apostle Douglas, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
If it was simple,
you wouldn't have men running from their responsibilities. But we got so many men who have left their families because it got hard, it got rough, it got frustrated. You know, they came home, they heard the screaming children. The wife is fussing. Okay, well, we don't have enough money to do this. We don't have enough money to do that. You're not making enough. And instead of saying, "Baby, work with me. Don't work against me." Instead of saying, "Let's try to work this thing out together," they took the easy, what they thought was the easy way out. Okay, I'm just gonna leave. I ain't got to deal with this.
Right.
They walked away from. And then they left all this wreckage that Bishop was talking about earlier. We left damage behind. And then we end up with, instead of just people having mental issues, then they turn into generational and spiritual issues. And it's not just on the part of the children, but you've affected your wife, you've affected your children, you affected their children, you affected their marriages down the road because of what you did, what so many of our fathers have done, what so many of our brothers have done. They walked away, and because they walked away, they've torn up what God designed as a family to be.
Go ahead, Bishop.
I want to speak to everything that Green just said, even Apostle. I want to say two things, to the men who are listening to us today, I want you to hear this and hear it well. Your mistakes don't hinder you from being a man. Your mistakes help you become a better man.
Yeah.
Because if it weren't for the bumps and bruises, you wouldn't be made strong. And so you're not a man because of your best things. The true measure of your manhood is by how you operate when you've fallen, when you had a bad day, when you failed and flunked and all of that. Because the Bible says a just man falls 7 times.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that makes him stronger. It gets back up again. And this leads me to, and I want to share this, and I think I'm gonna pop out for a moment. And this blew my mind when the Holy Ghost just dropped it on me. Men without mentors are tormented. Let's try that again.
Wow.
Hello.
Without mentors are tormented. Because here's the thing, who are you talking to?
Yeah, who are you listening to?
That's good, Doc.
Who's talking to you?
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't have a release, then somebody knows that eventually you're going to bust. and the enemy will keep pouring into you and keep pouring into you and telling you that this is this and this is that. And if you as a man don't have a proper release area, what's going to happen is you're going to explode at the wrong time. And people are not going to be, they're not going to pay attention to what caused you to bust. They're going to focus on you busting.
Yes.
Right.
So, brothers, if you're listening,
you're right.
Get you a mentor. A mentor.
Yes.
Before you get tormented.
That'll work there,
you see the word?
Yeah, I saw that.
Get a mentor before you get tormented.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it.
Find you a brother. Find you an accountability partner.
That's great. That part.
Find you an accountability partner that will let you vent, but also say, all right, you done cried. We done talked about it. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Just yourself off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's go.
Yeah.
Put your big boy hands
on. I will
on.
Submit to you, brothers.
Go ahead.
I will submit to you, brothers. My pastor, who has now retired, the Reverend Dr. F.D. Sampson Sr., preached a sermon a few years ago my wife and I were present for, from the 13th chapter of Genesis, verse 8, where Lot and Abram had come to an argument, disagreement. But the point he made out of that sermon, the title was the last three words of that verse, "We be brethren." And the point he was making, the point I want to pull out of this right quick, is the fact that don't be afraid to share your life. To any brother who's mm-hmm. listening, if you want to be a mentor, if you need a mentor, listen to this carefully. Don't be afraid to admit your failures. Not in a way of bragging,
yeah.
not because you were big and bad and you did what you wanted to do and you were like Frank Sinatra, you did it your way, but in a way of impartation to others to help them not make the same mistake you did. That's what's tripping us up. We have brothers making the same mistakes that we did. They're going down the same roads we did. Some of us see them, but we're not saying anything.
Yeah.
Because we look at it like this, Apostle. We look at it, well, that's not my son. That's not my nephew. That's not my brother. You know, you could sit there all day and list a number of excuses why not to say something.
Right.
But we have to be willing. And that's what the point of Abraham and Lot in that passage, that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Abram was willing to be cheated out of the land that God was going to give him. He told Lot, look, you take whatever you want. I'll take what's left.
Right.
He withdrew the argument. And he said, you know what? We have something more important. We have something in common more important than land, than herd, than money. We have something more important.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us on this mm-hmm. line active right now, we have
mm-hmm.
something in common that's more important
mm-hmm.
than all mm-hmm. that we could think of. We be brethren.
Mm-hmm. Well,
our
brethren.
Goal, our purpose
yeah.
is more important.
Yeah.
These yeah. brothers' lives, our men's
yeah.
lives are
Come
more
on,
important
son.
Than sitting there arguing about stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now watch,
you're right.
Now watch this part. Because I said back. You got brother against brother right now. Yeah, some of them that's listening to us right now, under the sound of our voice right now, that's listening here. You got a brother against a brother. And I'm not telling you, this is not something I'm telling you that I heard. This is something that I know. My biological brothers, we have buried the hatchet on my father's side. We have buried the hatchet. We have grown.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten better. We good.
Mm-hmm.
We live. We check on each other. We call each other. We do all that stuff. I got a brother that I live in a house with. Right now to this day, I call him, I check on him, but I don't get the same response back. I don't get the same kickback from him.
Mm-hmm.
But watch what I learned. They're still number one. They're still my brother.
That's it.
Number two, we're going to be greater together than we are separated. Watch the third point that God showed me. You can't force them to be somewhere that they don't want to be.
That's it.
You can't force a person to connect, but you be the bigger man. Hebrews 12 and 14 says this. He says, follow after peace.
Yes.
That's the only part that we really need to focus on. Follow after peace. That's our morning scripture for today. For those of them that follow with,
yes,
that follow after peace. If you follow after peace, everything else fall together. You have to be the peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add that in. Before you can be a peacemaker, you have to have peace inside of you.
Don't, come on, sir.
That's it.
Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
You, because I was going the same direction you go. We in the same. If you want peace, you got to act like you peaceful.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
You can't be, come here, let me help you. You hot about you want peace, but you the hell raver in the group.
Wow.
Now, that part.
How can you be the dog? How can you be an example and you yourself got an issue with the same thing you trying to get everybody to get delivered from?
My goodness. God help us.
Wow.
Y'all need to stop smoking these cigarettes.
Right. Why are you smoking?
And every time you finish your sentence, you have to run to get a puff.
You poured yourself a nice tall glass of wine, and you,
right,
this your fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
In the real solo cup.
Yeah.
And look in that good Starbucks cup. Now you talking about? The 24-ounce tumbler.
Yeah.
But if I can jump in right here. If I can jump in right here. To both of your points, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called,
yes,
the children of God. You have to be willing to put the, you know what, I mentioned my father passed away. He died October 15th, 1997. My brother, my sister, and I, our relationship was strained. Bishop Williams knows this. Our relationship was strained. But the one thing my father told me before he left this world, he said, LaRon, I want y'all to come together. He said, I want y'all to come together. I said, what? That ain't going to happen. He said, no, I want you to come together. The reason I want you to come together is because you don't know where life is going to take you. You don't know where you will end up. You don't know whose hand you'll end up in. He said, you may get sick one day and have to be taken care of by the very sibling you're not speaking to.
Wow.
Or the role could be reversed. You may have to take care of the very sibling you're not speaking to. And so I went to them. And I shared with them what my father's desire was. One received it very well, one not so much. But guess what? We're still praying.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I'm giving up. Dr. Cosby told us yesterday, go back out there. I know it's frustrating. I know you didn't get the results that you didn't want. I know what you were hoping for didn't happen. I know you didn't catch that big fish that you were really after. But all you got to do is go back out there at my word. We have to have a nevertheless type of determination that says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let that net down. We can be done. We try to be done, but God's not done with us.
Yes, sir.
So That is where that is where we need to be. That's the examples we need to set. We need to have a nevertheless type of determination, nevertheless type of faith. That's with our brothers, that's with our family, and that's with our fellow man.
Right. Let me tell you, that's so profound, because we sit back and we never know what God may have in store for us within the next day, the next hour, the next minute. We subject to walk out the door and have accidents. Don't die, but you're paralyzed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you're to the point to where you need help. And the person that you need help is the one that's close and sitting next to you. We look at our wives, we look at all that. But what if it's too much for our wives? What if it's too much for our children? What if it's too much for a friend? And that person that's the closest to you is your brother or your sister, the one you're having an issue with. And they see you, and they know that they rock it. They know that you're the only one that's in your head. Your grandmother told us. This is what my grandmother told us. You can be at odds with the whole world, but you ain't going to be at odds with your family.
That is right there.
Yes.
That's it right there.
Yes.
You can fight everybody on this world, but when you and your brothers and your sisters and your cousins get through fighting, y'all going to hug, tell each other that y'all love each other, and then y'all going to go
and
get
go on,
and y'all going to move on with y'all day.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I don't care what kind of art you got. Before my grandmother left this earth, that was imparted into us. We would, God help me. We would literally sit. I got cousins that were literally, they were so competitive with each other. We played football. We played basketball. We were playing football, and it became a one-on-one football game between two brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They forgot we was even playing. They were give me the ball. I'm gonna run the ball. I said, man, you got somebody on deep. Just give me the ball. Just make sure you give me the ball. So we hiked the ball, give him the ball. Him and his brother was going, I mean, literally. Now, you know how we play street football. The ditch is out. When you in the ditch, you out. You out of bounds.
We hit
his brother so hard. We weren't playing tackle. We were playing tag. He hit his brother so hard, he headbutted him and made him bite his tongue.
Jeez.
And almost bit his tongue off.
Wow.
Had to rush into the emergency room to get his tongue sewn back on. And when he got back, he was feeding him jello.
His brother.
My grandmother told him, go get some jello and feed your brother. Huh? Get some jello and feed your brother. Get him some ice for his tongue. Y'all gonna learn to live together. Y'all gonna learn to be okay together. And right now to this day, they the best of friends. Love each other. Because what was instilled in us. And that's the part, brothers. That's the part. Instilling each other. It's going to be okay. We can make it through this. We are challenged. We are pressed. We have issues. We have circumstances. We have problems. But at the end of the day, there are young men that's standing on the outside looking in, saying, hey, I need somebody to show me how to be the man that I need to be, to show me how I can overcome the storms of life. Show me how to be a man. That's what it is at the end of the day. And if we don't lay aside, if we don't lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, we're going to always be in challenge. At some point, you need to go from being in challenge mode to being champion. At some point, you need to go from being challenged to being victor and not the victim. And so with that being said, brother, with that being said, I'm going to relinquish my stand, and I'm gonna ask Brother Green to share his final thoughts. I'm gonna ask Bishop if he would give us the prayer, to give his final thoughts and give us a closing prayer for the brothers that are listening in. Brother Green, you there?
Green, are you there? Brother Green? There you go.
Well, he's still on the line, but he probably had to click over. Bishop, go ahead and give your final thoughts. And when he come back on, we'll have him in 2 years, and then we'll have you to close out. I got a hand up and want to say something. I'm gonna bring him in, Bishop. Hold on for just a second.
All right.
Hello.
Good morning. Blessings to you.
Good morning, Brother Douglas. This is Cousin. I have a question.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I have a question for you and the other man of God. It's just a little bit of advice. If you haven't always been the greatest father, and you've been having some from your son, but you want to try to reach out to him now, even though he doesn't want to reach out to you, what's a way, what are some ways to change that? What are some things that I can do that would bring us closer together, to get him to listen to me now, even though he's at the age now where he doesn't want to listen to me, but he wants to listen to his friends, he wants to listen to everybody else except for good advice. How do I, what are some?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And Quinn, I feel your heart. I feel your heart. Bishop, I'm gonna make a relationship with my family. I'm gonna let Bishop talk, and then I'm gonna share something with you.
Thank you for calling. That's a good question. Let me speak from experience, because it's not a son that I feel, it's a daughter. What I've learned to do is you have to learn to be patient with them. Reconciliation is always available, but it's going to take time to work on it. You must understand that a stronghold has been built. A stronghold has been, and it takes a stronghold a long time to be put up. What I would suggest you do, my brother, continue to be patient. Continue to show that love. Because the Lord has a way of making it where you're not going to need them, but they're going to need you. And so don't get frustrated when they don't call back, because I've had that. Don't be frustrated when they don't reciprocate your love. Don't be frustrated when they don't act like you want them to act. Because, again, you're chipping away at something that it is taking time to build up. But the more patient you are and the more loving you are, and here's another thing, don't just say that you love them. Don't just tell him that, you know, I'm here. Show him.
Right.
This generation is a show-me. It's a show-me generation. And so in order to get the best out of them, you have to show them that you're serious and be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And when you do that in time, and that's my key word, in time, you're going to see the fruit of your labor. But let me tell you what my pastor told me yesterday, and I'm done. Don't be weary in your well-doing, because in due season, you're going to reap. But you got to be patient, and you got to be consistent. I hope that helps.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you
the personal side of it. Let me give you the personal side of it. The enemy will try to make you feel like you're not a good father because of the simple fact that you're not there, or because you're not doing. You feel like you're doing your best. I'm gonna give you something that's gonna. I think that's gonna help you. I was working security for a company, and one of the things we had to ride around on the golf cart, and that was one of the things we had to do. We had to run off all of the homeless people that would be laying out on the sidewalk and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it still messed with me today a little bit. So if I tear up a little bit, it's because it struck home real big with me. My middle son, you know my middle son, Jerry. I was driving in there, and it was a homeless guy that was laid on the ground. And so I rolled up over him. I said, "Excuse me, sir. Say, I really hate to do this to you, but you got to leave. You can't stay right here." The dude uncovers his head. And when he uncovers his head, he looked just like my middle son, Jarius.
Wow.
I sat back and I literally lost my breath. Because he looked just like my son. We had been separated, and we were at odds. All types of stuff was going on. All kinds of remorse and all that stuff was kicked in. And when I saw that, it literally quit me. Took my breath. Called my wife crying. She said, "Baby, I don't know what to tell you. This is something that I can't help you with. This is my prison wife right now." I called her and I told her. She said, "Baby, call Bishop. Call your bishop." I called Bishop Pearson at the time. That was our bishop at the time, but we were still going to that church. And I called Bishop Pearson. And when I called Bishop Pearson, I was crying. I'm in my car, and I'm sitting there in the back, and I'm just thinking, "You look just like a bitch." And I'm sitting there, I don't know what to do. And he said, "Okay." He said, "You done?" I said, "Huh?" He said, "You finished?" "Yeah, I'm finished." He said, "First off, that ain't your son. Let's start right there. That ain't your son. That's not your child. That's the devil playing tricks on your mind. That's not your son." He said, "Now, the next thing I want to tell you," he said, "I want you to understand that you are a good father, and you're doing everything in your power to be a good father. Yeah. You reach out. You call, you text, you check on them. You do everything in your power to be a good father. is not going to change until they want it to change. When they make a change, it will change. But until then, son, wait on the Lord and let the Lord work it out for
you. Let's open up.
Sometimes it's not about a rush.
Yeah.
It's about waiting on God and let God do it. Huh?
I said, sometimes we just want everything to happen right away, you know.
Yeah. See, my oldest DJ called me and same thing, having all these issues and stuff going on. He called me and told me that he did not need me as his father. I don't need you to be my father anymore. I don't want you to be my father. You ain't responsible for me. I got my brothers and my sisters. You can stay over that way you at. Don't worry about it. Don't call me. Don't text me no more. Don't do none of that for me no more. I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
Broke my heart. But watch what God. Watch the importance of sound counsel. This is you got three men on here. They got sons. Listen to sound counsel. Watch what sound counsel told me. This is what Bishop Pearson told me. He told me, he said, son, he said, he's speaking out of his frustration. He said, watch what you do. He said, you still be the man that you are, the father that you are to him. Say, be there when he needs you.
Mm-hmm.
Be there when he needs you. About maybe 3 months later, he called me and he said, Dad, you say you got a minute? I said, yeah, I got a minute. He said, I want to apologize to you.
Yeah.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize for coming to you and saying to you what I said to you. He said, I do need you. He said, I understand now. I didn't understand at first, but I understand now.
Mm. Yes.
When you get to the place to where you wait, and just continue to be, could when text him every once in a while, tell him I love you. Tell him, hey man, I'm praying for you. Hey man, I'm thinking about you. Hey man, just wanted to tell you, hey, I'm proud of you. Send those texts.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it shows that you haven't backed away from him. Because that, can I be honest with you? The ultimate goal of the devil is to make you back away from him. The ultimate goal of the devil is to make you just fall away from him. But can I bless you? Let me help you real quick. If you continue to be the connection and the father that he needs, when it gets too much for him, God help me. You will be the example of the God that he needs right there in his presence.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You'll be that example that he needs. You'll be the voice of reason in this time of chaos, because he's gonna be looking for an answer and you'll be it. You just have to be Quentin. You got to be man.
Yes.
Don't try to be pastor. Don't try to be minister. Don't try to be the man of God. Be dad. That other part will come. But you just be dad. Be there. That's it for me. I'm done. That's all I got. Brother Green, you still on with us? I think Brother Green may have dropped off. Oh. Yeah, Brother Green dropped off. Brother Green dropped off, I think. But yeah. Bishop, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Okay. I think Brother Green dropped off.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't
don't know what's going on. But I want you, if you don't mind, you could close us out, Bishop. Close us out with prayer. And your final word on here with us today.
Again, thank you for allowing me to tip in on the conversation, and to all the men that have been listening. Let me say to you, as I said before, your mistakes don't destroy your marriage; they define it. Please find you somebody, find your brother that you can be a brother with, and let the Lord have His way in your life. I just got a message, Apostle. Brother Green said he's trying to get back home.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let's see. Hold on. Brother Green, that's you?
Yeah, that's me.
Brother Green? Okay, there you go.
Okay, I'm back.
I think we
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you good. No. You good. That was me.
Okay. Go ahead, Bishop. You doing it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
My final word to the brothers, find you a man that you can help mentor you. Boys are not the only males that need to be mentored.
Awesome.
Every man needs a man. Paul had him a Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 leaned on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Elijah had an Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Joshua had a Moses.
Mm-hmm.
David had a Jonathan.
Yeah.
Brother, there's at least one man somewhere who can handle
mm-hmm.
the real you. I ain't talking about the preacher, the executive, the no. There's a brother out there who can handle you being the real you. Find that brother. Let him mentor you. What I mean by mentor, let him glean from you. You glean from him. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
No judgment zone.
Yeah.
Because
right.
We spend so much time tearing each other down.
Yes, sir.
Let's building each other up. Because you don't know. No brother. You could, and Green and I have this phrase, we've talked each other off the ledge many times.
Oh, yeah.
And you may need a brother to help talk you off the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
Get that brother and let that brother mentor you so you can be the man that you're supposed to be.
Right.
Brother, if you're listening to me, I don't know what man I'm talking to, but brother to brother, I love you. You are a man of purpose. You are a man of significance. Doesn't matter what your baby mama said. Doesn't matter what your children said. Doesn't matter what your wife said. Don't matter what your mama said. Don't even matter if your daddy said. No matter what negativity has come against you, the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
And wonderfully made.
The last time I checked, God didn't make no trash.
Yes,
and even trash in the Lord's hands is valuable.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Apostle. I'm good. I'm done.
Brother Greg, you want to have last say? You want to have a final say?
I would say thank you, Apostle Douglas, again for allowing me to be with you, brothers, today. It has blessed me so. Apostle, I want to let you know my wife. She was able to dial in, and she was back there in the room just shouting and hollering with us. But I would say to
mm-hmm.
all the brothers, especially the brother who just called in, I would say to them, first of all, this life is not a sprint. This life is a marathon. Bishop Williams often tells a story about a young man who was a track runner, and his coach told him, whatever you do, don't quit. Keep running your race until you finish. The boy took part in a marathon. He was running and got tired, but he kept running. Slowed down, lost his speed, but he kept running. But let me cut across the field and get to the end. The the race was over. Other marathon runners had gotten their papers, their medals, and received their recognition. They had left. A lot of people had left, but his coach was still standing at the finish line, and his family was still standing there. But when he got to when he finally got to the finish line, his family asked him, "Why did you keep on running? You knew the race was over. You knew that somebody else had won." He said, "Because my coach didn't tell me to win the race. He told me to finish." And
yeah.
that is what I would share with each one of us. Run your race. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
This is a marathon.
Yeah.
Run it until you
yeah.
finish. Others will
yeah.
finish before you. That's fine. Others will finish after you. That's fine, too. Keep running.
Amen.
Keep running.
I like that. So we're going to end the show on that note. Brothers, keep running. We want to thank God for this opportunity to share with these brothers, to share the work of the Lord, to share the opportunity of the Lord. And with that being said, we want to give you guys the blueprint to salvation. We call it the Overcomer Scripture and Overcomer's Prayer. Here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. So our scripture is Romans 10:9, which simply says this, that when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved.
Yes.
This is your opportunity. We're going to extend to you an opportunity. Those of you all who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take out this time right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Bishop, would you lead them in what we call the sinner's prayer, to compel those that are under the sound of our voice. If you don't
sure.
have Christ as your Lord and Savior, come give your life back. Bishop.
Pray this prayer with those of you who would like to accept Jesus Christ. Father, I come to you. A sinner. I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Come into my life. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He died for my sins and rose from the dead. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me. Guide me. And I will live for you the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Now we're gonna give you three real good keys for you to hold on to. Get you a really good Bible, those of y'all that have crossed over. And first off, we wanna say welcome to the family. They say if one comes, he say heaven rejoices. So we're gonna rejoice. We're
yeah.
thanking God for the ones that have come that have given their life on today. But we wanna make sure that you have some wanna give you some real good instructions as you take this new walk in Christ. The first thing we want you to do, get you a really good Bible. One of the ones that got the red writing in it, they let you know that Jesus was talking. They'll give you some real good advice to hold on to. That's your blueprint. They say this in the church. It's the basic instructions before leaving earth. You need that in your hand. You need that blueprint, that Bible. The next thing I want you to get into a good church home. Listen, we have Unity on the line. We have the Abba House on the line. We want to invite you to either one of those services. Unity is in Baytown. Abba House is right here in Houston. Those of you all that are looking for a church home, please make it your business to come and share with us. Unity starts at 11, and you can be there in Baytown. If you're listening in Baytown, please go and be with Bishop Williams. I'm telling you, that's a fantastic word that's going to be preached to you there. It's going to give you some strength. Come to the Abba House. The Abba House, none of our services are ever the same. I promise you, when you come, you're going to have an experience that you have never, like you never had before in your life when you come and visit us. We have services every Sunday at 3 p.m. Please make it your business to come and share in either one of those services. Also, we want you to make sure that person, that woman, that man of God that's standing before you, that is preaching that gospel, make sure that their life
lines up with that word. That's why it's so important for you to have the basic instructions before leaving Earth. So you can compare what they're doing in that word. And if it don't look the same, you might want to find you somewhere else to go. So make sure that you have those three keys prevalent with you when you go to visit and go and share in the Word of God with those churches that you're going to go to. Amen? Amen. Also, we want to make sure that you guys know that you can sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection by simply going to your Cash App, your Zelle, or even your PayPal. You can do so by going to your Cash App is WGC2020. Again, that's WGC2020. Or you can go to your Zelle, which is 832-816-7997. Or you can go to your PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwidegc. Again, that's paypal.me/worldwidegc. Either one of those ways, you can go ahead on and sow your seed. Watch this here. When you sow your seed into this minute, into this ministry that we have on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, know that your seed is being used to further and build the kingdom. We are, Brother LaRon, I want to tell you, we are in 26 countries, my brother. Your voice has been heard across the world. You have literally, your voice is
heard. I was just sharing with her. I enjoyed this. This has blessed me so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We picked up Italy probably about a month ago. So we are now in 26 or 27 countries right now. I got to go back and look and see the bit, but we are all over the world right now. So yes, sir. So we're just blessed that God had His way. I honestly believe that this broadcast today was truly what was needed to inspire all of those brothers that are lost, who really just needed some answers to some situations and circumstances that they could not come up with. So thank you, brother.
Wow.
Again. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Brother LaRon. Thank you, Quinn,
thank you,
for coming on. We will appreciate you so much for the sharing on the line with us today. God bless you guys. Listen, we're gonna end with one of my favorite songs that we've dubbed here on here, and we just want to let that song play. God bless y'all. We look forward to y'all joining us again. God bless you. We'll talk with y'all real soon.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sacrifice for you, you're a fire.